Okay, turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 6. This is a text for today. Good morning, everyone. Memorial Day tomorrow, celebrating in our country the people that have lost their lives. I had an uncle in Clayton who was, I believe, we're from Rome, New York, so he was the first Roman lost in World War II. So some of you in your families maybe have people that have lost their lives for the country. Anybody? Raise your hand. Yeah, so we recognize that this morning. So we appreciate what these people did. Okay, our text is 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to start from verse 9 down to verse 20. The phrase that got my attention last night, I'd asked Pastor Steve DeRees to share this morning, but I also have this repeating in my heart and mind, and I feel I should share it with you. So he may share, he's going to share today. I don't know when, but we have three shots at it. So we got this service, 11, and then tonight. And he's from Kentucky, missionary from Korea, Thailand. Great man of God, really. Gary Grunwald's buddy when they grew up together out there in Illinois. And yeah, just a really great man of God, really great man of God. So we'll hear from him today. The phrase is, you are bought with a price, chapter 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. And those words really mean a lot. You are bought with a price. So if we pray right now for this, Lord, bless the message this morning. Graduations, recognizing honor, what it means to honor people, recognizing your love for us in buying us, paying a price, what it means. Jesus. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. It's an interesting text. I want to show you something about it. He's addressing a sin in one part of the text. Anybody know what sin he's talking about in this text? Chapter 6, starting from verse 9 down through. Okay, it's sexual sin or fornication. That's a sin of the body. That's a sin that we commit by a sexual appetite or drive or lust that we have in our body, by nature. I remember people arguing, like, well, people have to eat food, so they have to have sex, right? Did anybody ever hear that in high school or whenever? Yeah, that's how people think. That's like Freudian thinking. That's a modern man. That's the way people think. But the apostle argues differently. He doesn't say, he says, the meat is for your belly, food is for your stomach. And it's not the same as sex, because you can live without it. And so this is a question. In the pagan world, by the way, the material body and material things in general were not important. They were like disregarded. There were different philosophies, of course, but basically, it's Christianity when we begin to think that both worlds are important. My material body is important, and also my spiritual life is related to my physical body. So when the Apostle Paul is dealing with this particular sin, he's like a hunter. He is going at it. He is attacking it. He is addressing the problem. Because in the pagan world, sexual sins were very common. There were temple prostitutes. There was homosexuality, bestiality. There was like perversions of all kinds. I think every Caesar, every king in the Roman Empire was a homosexual or bisexual and so on. Very common, very much a part of the society. But for the Apostle Paul to go at this sin, just like in our culture, like this is not a frequent, common subject that is addressed in churches. Sexual sins. But he goes at it and he addresses it and he reasons with us in the text and he brings us to the other side of this. And it is essentially who owns you? Who owns you? You are bought. You are bought. And then he adds this phrase, with a price. You are bought, you are owned, and there was a price that was paid for you. So if we could digest the text and realize what is he saying and how does he lead us in understanding what it means. Look at the last verse, 20. Last verse in the chapter 6. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, because the body is a part of God's reality in your life. Your body is important. Your body is the temple of God. Your body, valuable. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Yeah. So that's the subject for this morning. Look at chapter 6, verse 9, and we'll read it. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's the homosexual part there in that text. Effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So for the pagan world, that means everybody. And for our world, that means everybody. Everybody's guilty of that in some way. We will not inherit. Verse 11. Such were some of you. You were that way. But you are washed. You are sanctified. Wow, look at that. The back row. Man. The sinner's bench in the back of the church. Yeah, but such were some of you, but you are washed. Washed with the blood of Jesus, washed by the water of the word, but you are sanctified. That's the work of the Spirit in our life day by day, sanctifying us. But you are justified once. We are justified, declared righteous, that means saved, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So you are saved. You were this way, but you are saved. You are born of the Spirit, justified and sanctified. Verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That does mean there are many things in gray areas where we have liberty. It's not sin, but there are things, maybe, I don't know, maybe movies or books or something that's a conversation that you have with somebody that's, yeah, it's gray. There are things that that come up in our life, of course. We are, but we are not brought under the power of any. Verse 12, do you see that? But I will not be brought under the power of any. So you could be with somebody, and you are allowed to be with them, but you are sanctified and not brought under their power. They may suggest to you something evil. You may be with that company, but you are not brought under their power or influence. You are sanctified by the Spirit. This is a good point. The Spirit leads you. And in your heart and mind, you say no. In your heart, you say no. Like, that's not God. I don't want that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not there. I don't think that way. No, you have it in your spirit and in your heart. That's important. You have to have filters in your life. And this is what he's saying. We have liberty, but we also have filters. We have liberty, but we also have responsibility. We have liberty, but we also are able to say, no, that's not good. Now, wait a minute. Have you ever heard of a ghost ship, a ghost ship out at sea with nobody on the ship? They all died, or there was a ship, you know, that maybe something, disease broke out, or it was attacked and everybody killed. And the ship is out to sea, just at the mercy of the sea. That's how some people live. That's how they live. But you are bought with a price. You are different. You are bought with a price. There's somebody in charge of your life. There's somebody on board. And that's a good thing. And there are people who say, no, I just want to go with the flow. I just go with the flow like a ghost ship. And that ship doesn't go anywhere, doesn't do anything. It's an empty vessel. And that's the life that people live when they don't have God. I mean, that's a good picture. The bad picture is that there's an evil guy on board and he's doing evil things. But so you got those two pictures. Okay, go to verse 13. Let's repeat verse 12, part B. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Could you say that to your neighbor? But I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful, but all things are not valuable or useful. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Okay? All right? Just turn to your neighbor and just say, you look like a ghost ship this morning. I am worried about you. I am worried about you. You are in trouble. You're an accident ready to happen. Not going to make it. You're not going to make it. No. You're a ghost ship. Okay. I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, how can that be? You are bought with a price. And now you have the Spirit of God in you. Do you see up on the screen? This is his argument against this sin. We'll read it. Verse 12. No, 13. Meats for the belly. And the belly for meats. Translation? got to eat food. You're made for the food. Your belly wants the food. Anybody hungry yesterday before the barbecue? Anybody? Have you been hungry for ever not eat for a day or two? Huh? What's your belly saying? Meat. Meats for the belly. Hamburgers. Hot dogs. Potato salad. Chips. 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 Okay. What is this? This is the stomach and food. Stomach and food. They go together. It's very hard not to eat for 40 days. And you get to dying. You get to dying of starvation after a few more days and you die without it. So that's clear. Verse 13. But God shall destroy both it and them. That means there'll be a day when our bodies will be glorified, and our glorified bodies will be in a different state, that we will have a glorified body. Jesus' resurrected body, his resurrected body, he ate honey and he ate fish and that morning at the Sea of Galilee. But he's also saying that the mortal body will be wrapped up in a glorified state where there'll be a transition. But now let's admit it, that we have a physical body that we have to carry around in our life. But our mortal body is not in control of our life because we have been bought with a price and we have the Spirit of God that will lead us in how to manage our body. The Spirit of God will help me manage my body. That's his argument. You might say, no, that doesn't work for me. And I'm saying, I don't care really what you have to say about it. I care about what God is saying about it. And he's saying, with respect to you and your struggle with your body, but I'm also saying, this is clear, that he's saying that that sin is a problem for people. And they can get it right if they understand what he's saying here. And let's look at it. It says, God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. Stop it. That's all. Like the body is not for fornication. It's made for marriage, sex in marriage. It's made for our union in our marriage. It's made for pleasure in our marriage, and it's made for reproducing children with our family life. That's what it is there for. It's for pleasure. It's for reproducing human beings. It's to glorify God. It has its rightful place, and we thank God for it. And we use that illustration about a fire. When the house is on fire, that's not a good thing. But when the fire is in the fireplace and it's in order and there's peace and it's under control, that's a beautiful thing. In a similar way, sex is like that. It has its place. It's a beautiful thing in its place. But take it out of that place and it takes you over. It takes over your life. It can dominate your life. It can become an addiction in your life. And it can dominate in a wrong way. So this is his argument. I mean, this is what he's saying. He attacked it. Praise the Lord. God, you are good. Come on, talk to me, God. Give it to me. Tell me. Come on, tell me. Jesus, is it real or not? Tell me, Jesus. Can you take this thing? Can you control me? Do you have control over this thing? Can you handle this? Can you do this? Look at verse 13. Now the body is not for fornication, part B, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The Lord is for the body. By the way, if you have victory over sexual sin, man, you are free. You are free. Praise the Lord. If you fail in it, you confess it. You're forgiven. You're forgiven by Christ. You are bought with a price. You are forgiven by God and move on. It. Don't do it anymore. Just stop it. That's what he's saying. Verse 14. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Now there is a radical statement. We have a physical body, a mortal body. Shall my mortal body be joined to a harlot when my body is belonging to Christ? That's simple. That's what he's saying. Isn't that amazing? Shall my member, my body be joined to a harlot when actually my body has been bought with a price and doesn't belong to me? Now, that ghost ship, who does that ghost ship belong to? Like nobody. I mean, you know, in principle. It's just out there at sea. And our bodies are belonging to Christ and not to a harlot. Wow. Isn't that amazing? What are you saying there? Verse 16. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. It speaks for itself, doesn't it? He that is joined to a harlot is one body. Boy, Paul is very aggressive and very going at this thing. He's going at it. It's amazing, I think. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So you are a Christian. How can you be sleeping around? How can you be sleeping around when you're a Christian? And you're joined unto Christ. Well, yeah, I'm joined unto Christ in the spirit. Yes, that's true. But Paul is saying, but your body is the temple of God. And when you join it to a harlot, you're joining with her or him. And like, God forbid, he said. God forbid. Wow. Verse 16, oh no, 17. But here comes the great statement. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. By the way, when you walk in the spirit, then you're not running around looking for relationships with people like that, because you are satisfied with your relationship with God. Like, I'm satisfied with my relationship with God in my heart, in my spirit, right? I'm not saying any of us are perfect in these things, but I am saying There are believers that need teaching and instruction and understanding how satisfying it is to live in the Spirit, to hear what the Spirit is saying, to be led by the Spirit, to be willing and obedient to God in the Spirit, to have the mind of God in our heart, and to be able to say, no, that relationship, what is that anyway? That's just like, that's not even a relationship. That's like foolish. That's empty. That's my flesh. That's not satisfying. That's sorrow. That's guilt. That's problem. That's sexual transmitted diseases. That's dangerous. That's empty. That's not God. God is not in that. That's not where I go. That's not how I'm living. I want to be, help me in this other mind. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Well, what does spirit mean? That means God, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit satisfies you. Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God, the mind of God, the clarity of God. And when you live in faith, by faith in God, and you make these decisions by faith, then you find yourself like conforming. There's a Greek myth that it's about somebody that put a mask on that was very different from their face. And then over time, as they wore the mask, their face kind of conformed to it. And when they took the mask off, it was like the mask. It sounds like hypocrisy, but I don't mean it that way. What I mean is that when you put on the mask, Jesus Christ, by faith, you'll find yourself conforming to him. You'll be like him. That walk of faith actually has an effect in your heart. And you start to love the things he loves, hate the things he hates. You start to obey him and do the things that he wants, and you find yourself being changed from glory to glory. And it says that in Ephesians 4, put off the old man, put on the new man. And it's saying that here, walk in the Spirit, you are joined unto God. And as you are joined unto God, you are changed from glory to glory. In 2 Corinthians 4. Okay, so look at verse 17. This is the whole message. I didn't know I was going to be doing it this way, but we're here, so here we go. We're almost done. Look at verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Then verse 18. Flee fornication. That's simple. Run away from it and get all the phone numbers out of your phone, all kinds of pictures, get them out of your house, have a purging. Flee fornication. Get rid of all the pornography, get rid of all the stuff, delete it all, give your phone to your wife or your confidant, your friend, or whatever it is. You flee fornication. You will be changed from spirit to spirit, glory to glory, you will. But it takes faith. There's another little story. It's called The Beauty and the Beast, Walt Disney thing, from some story, you know, for The Beauty and the Beast. And wasn't it the young woman, there was a beast, and she, in her heart, she kind of realized maybe what was in that man's, the beast, what was in his heart, or she saw something about him, or, you know, somehow it happened, and I think she kissed him, and when she kissed him, he changed into this handsome guy, right? Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, I didn't come to church to hear that stuff. I didn't come here for that stuff. I can see that on the TV. Okay. Do you know what I get out of that story? What I get out of that story is that that woman did something by faith. That woman saw something. Yeah, you can't see it, but somehow she saw something. You have to see what we're saying. You have to see what the Bible is saying. You have to see it by faith. You have to flee fornication. You have to make a decision in your heart. You have to decide, and you do something that maybe you don't know where it's going to end up, but she ended up in a good place as the beast turned into somebody that she married. And in a way, when you come to Jesus Christ, you're not sure exactly how it goes, but it requires faith.
And if you live by faith, you will flee fornication. You will. You leave it. You have to say, that's not my life. I don't want it. It doesn't satisfy me. It's just an addiction. I don't need it. God, clean me up. Help me. Lead me and change my heart and change me into your image. Because Jesus is not like that. Jesus is deeper. Jesus is God. Jesus is satisfied. Look at verse 18. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Every sin that a man does is without the body. There are sins without the body, like pride, jealousy, covetousness, not sins of the body, but there are sins of the body, I think alcoholism. There are sins of the body where my body is controlling my life, and fornication is one of them. But the argument is, but you are bought with a price. Look at verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? The ghost ship, it's their own, it's its own, but you are not your own. Your car is not, it's not its own. A car is yours. You bought it, you drive it. It's not its own. Thank God. I hope the AI world doesn't make cars their own. forget it. You know, we need somebody under the control of God, and that's who you are. You are not your own. You are not your own. God has a title deed to you. You are not your own. You are owned by another. You are not your own. Somebody else owns you. You are not your own. God owns you. He bought you with a price. And that's fun, to belong to another one. I don't want to belong to myself. I want to belong to somebody else. I want to belong to God. I want God to own me. And he does. He owns you. He owns you. Verse 19. What? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought. And he could have ended the sentence there, but he added with a price. You are bought with a price. And in simple terms, just to finish in simple terms, the Bible has Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, three books, the beginning, the Exodus, the deliverance out of Egypt, and immediately in the wilderness, he talks about a price for you people, a price. What is the price? It's blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the animal sacrifice, then there is no message. But the blood is what I bought. I bought you with not the blood of bulls and goats and birds and grains and wine and other sacrifices. And some people react to a bloody religion. They say the pagans had blood, and now the Christians have blood too, just like the pagans. And we say, yes, blood is unique stuff. Blood, bright red blood. One time in medical school, a doctor told me there was one vial of blood, small vial of blood, and the professor, it just took it and just put it on the floor. And it looked like so much blood was on the floor, but it was only a small vial of blood. It's shocking when we see blood. Yeah, bright red blood. It's everywhere. He's bleeding to death. But no, it's not that much. It looks like it's a lot. Blood is strange stuff. Blood makes us live. Blood has what so many enzymes and nutrients and hormones and white blood cells and blood, red blood cells, everything. We know so much about blood. Blood, well, it's a mystery of life. But in a way, it's cheap. All kinds of living things bleed. And then you kill them and they bleed. It's cheap. Another animal, another animal, another animal. But if this is the blood of God, if God bought us, if we are owned by God, that we've been bought with a price, and it's the blood of God. And you know, in heaven, when we go there, Revelation chapter 5, we have a great worship session that is going on around the Lamb of God who shed his blood and bought us, for we've been bought with a price. The blood of Christ has bought us. So there's a comparison. Do you see it in the text? You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body and spirit. Flee fornication. Leave that. You don't need it. It's not necessary. Do not avoid it. Run away from it. It's not in your life. You have another life. And you kind of put that on and you actually are changed, but it takes faith. And you do it because you are bought with a price. Your life is glorifying God. And that's our message today. Amen. Would you pray with me? Yes. Let me say one more thing before we pray. I was flying to India, and I sat in the plane was a little bit empty. I was reading my Bible, and a guy a few rows away, back at the bathroom on the plane, and one man said, "I saw you reading your Bible," an Indian man. He said, "That's so good to see you reading your Bible." And he had a shining face. He was an Indian Catholic priest, actually, and we had a talk. And another man, a few hours later, it was a long flight, but he turned to me and he said, "I saw you reading the Bible." Another man, he was from Bangladesh, from Virginia, going home for a few days. And we had a talk. And he came over, he said, "I watch videos about Islam and Christianity, and I'm a Muslim. And I watch them, and I go, how are you forgiven in Islam? How are you forgiven?" And he said, "We're just forgiven because God is a merciful God." And I said, "Okay, how is it paid for?" And he didn't know what I meant exactly. So I explained it to him. I go, if somebody murders somebody, he can go to Allah and just say, "Forgive me," and God will forgive him. And then maybe something else bad happens and he will forgive him. And so he just forgives, right? I mean, just continually, he just will forgive. Yeah. He said, "Yes." I go, "Well, how is it paid for?" And he said, "I don't know. I don't know what you mean. He's just merciful." And I said, "Well, there has to be justice. There has to be righteousness. There has to be truth. Because if our society lived like that, there wasn't any penalty, just mercy and mercy and mercy, but there's no payment. It'd be like me loaning out my motorcycle to somebody and they go and crash it and bring it back to me and they say, 'Here's your motorcycle back.' And I go, 'Thank you. What happened?' And he said, 'Well, I crashed it and I'm sorry about that.' Okay, who's going to pay for it?" And he could say, "Don't worry about it. I'll pay for that." Okay. Or I could say, "No, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it, or my insurance will pay for it." But somebody's got to pay for it. It's got to be paid for. Now, nobody pays for it. We just forgive each other. Okay, we forgive, but I lost my motorcycle. And now I can't go to the store with my motorcycle. I have to walk there because I don't have a transportation. So I pay for it. I walk to the store because I don't have a motorcycle. Is that righteous? Is that correct? Is that how do we do that? And if life is like that, then you give mercy and give mercy and give mercy. And God in heaven is saying, no, there has to be righteousness. I love righteousness. And that means it has to be paid for. So when you sin and I sin and we violate God, it has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. Like, practice it in life. Just like lie to somebody and they get hurt, and or borrow something, never pay back, or wreck something and not find justice, or just be dishonest with your neighbor and somebody suffers for it. Like, sin causes suffering. And who will pay for the sin? How will the sin be paid for? And when Christ came, he paid for our sin so that we would be forgiven. And then with the same blood, like, there's two functions. One is the blood covers our sin. And the other one, the crucifixion, crucifies our sin nature. And when he's raised, we are raised with him. And God tells us here, you were a slave to sin, but now you're bought with a price. So you're now free to glorify me in your body and in your spirit. We are bought with a price, a high price. Okay, pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for this text, these listening ears, this ministry of your word, our day. Thank you for this day, our meditation, our spiritual life, our life of faith, and change us from glory to glory. We are not ghost ships on the ocean. We are bought with a price. We are governed by your spirit, and we are changed into your image. We thank you for that and trust you. Anyone here, you're saying a prayer to God. It's between you and God, saying, God, clean up my life. You bought me. You own me. And I praise you for that. Lead me. Speak to me. Guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you never accepted Jesus, accept him today. If you've never accepted Jesus, do it today. Say yes to Christ today. Amen.